Born is the King. That's what we come to celebrate. It's hard to believe it's Christmas in Egypt. Do you ever think in your younger years or that you would actually be here, be in this place? Some of you are visiting. I appreciated your comments from New Brunswick. If you look at the weather map, what's happening in North America right now, almost anybody in the continent would rather be here. This is quite a treat to be here, and although it's colder for those of you coming from the south or from other tropical climates, it's a wonderful place to be for Christmas. Those of you who are back for family, you are more than welcome, and it's a delight to have you back home. We'd like to say back home where you belong. Anyway, it's great to have you here. We're trying to review different aspects of the Christmas story, and for those of you who have been here in Egypt for a while, you may have heard the term the E factor. Anybody heard that term? Anybody used it? How many of you have ever referred to something as, oh, that's the E factor? Only a few of you? Well, then I'm out to lunch here. Generally, come on, you've heard it, Mike, haven't you? Okay, nobody wants to commit themselves in this one. Anyway, many times, at least how I've heard it, many people refer to the E factor, usually in a joking way, as a kind of a subtle put-down to the culture. Because obviously all of us are in a place that is different, at least unless you're Egyptian. Those of us who come from other places, we're bound to experience some dissonance, some culture shock, some difference between where we come from and this place. And so because of the difference, because of the sometimes a shocking difference, we refer to that difference as the E factor. And then, actually, sometimes people have said some rather unnice things about Egypt and refer to that as the E factor as well. Well, we all know that Egypt has had an amazing, glorious history. Amazing. And it goes back thousands of years, way, way, way beyond any of our other cultures and locations. But I heard that recently back in Britain, and Dominic, you would appreciate this. Back in Britain, scientists apparently found traces of copper wiring 100 meters below the surface. They dated it back 1,000 years, and they came to the conclusion that their ancestors already had a telephone network 1 millennium ago. So, not to be outdone, a few weeks later, the French, and you know the French and the British have this thing going on between them for years, the French dug 200 meters deep. That's 100 meters deeper than their neighbors. And the headlines in the newspaper read, French scientists found traces of 2,000-year-old optical fibers and concluded that their ancestors already had advanced high-tech digital telephone 1,000 years earlier than the British. Love that cross-channel dialogue. But 1 week later, here in Egypt, the Egyptian press reported the following. After having dug as deep as 500 meters, the Egyptian scientists found absolutely nothing and concluded that 5,000 years ago, their ancestors were already using mobile phones. I love it. like, there you go, British. So much for the French, so much for... Anyway. Now, some would say, well, that's the E factor. No, well, that's not the E factor we're going to look at this morning. I'd like you to look with me at the E factor, or the Egyptian factor, as it relates to the story of Christ's birth, the Christmas story. And Egypt plays a fascinating role in that entire process. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 1, verses 13 to 21. You can follow on the screen if you want, or if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. This is the wise men. When they, the wise men, had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, and take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet. Out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. Before we look at this story, will you join me in prayer and ask God by His Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts at this Christmas time? Father, we thank you for this ancient story, this one which perhaps many of us have reviewed year after year after year. But we pray, Lord, that as we look at it through eyes this year from this place, that you will help us somehow to not only understand the E factor, but to actually experience it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are so blessed to be in Egypt at Christmas time. Now, I know some of you would rather be somewhere else. You'd rather be with family or with your whatever. But think of it. To be in Egypt at the time when this took place 2,000 years ago, so close to where it all began, and so where some of it took place, is just, it's phenomenal. I kind of pinch myself every year thinking, I am so lucky, I'm so blessed to be here. Not only are we literally within hours of Bethlehem, where it all began, but we know from this story that the Holy Family actually came here, and we know from tradition that they were actually in this vicinity. Do you realize that you may be sitting on top of ground that the Holy Family actually walked on? I mean, it blows my mind. This is exciting stuff. Now, I realize that doesn't make you any more holy or any more special, but just the historical connections of it, I find, are fascinating. If you look at the map on the screen, you will see the route that Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus would have taken on their journey here 2,000 years ago. Now, modern Ma'adi was in pharaonic times an outlying district of Memphis, which was the ancient capital of Egypt back then. Tradition says that the Holy Family passed through here and then boarded a sailing boat that carried them on the Nile toward Upper Egypt. The Virgin Mary Church, which you see in the next slide on the corniche, was built on the spot that where the tradition says the Holy Family actually embarked on their journey. The name Ma'adi actually is derived from an Arabic word meaning the crossing point. So you live in a town called the crossing point, which remembers the Holy Family being here. It's fascinating. Now, can you picture with me? I love this next slide. Can you picture with me Joseph and Mary and Jesus right here? 2,000 years ago. Maybe just like that. Who knows? I love it. I love the reality of that context here. Now, on a broader scale, Egypt is throughout the entire Bible. You know that. 622 times Egypt or Egyptians are mentioned. No, not Egyptians. Egypt is mentioned in the Bible. And it always played a very, very central role in the unfolding of God's revelation and purposes for humanity. According to Isaiah 19, God is going to, in the future, use Egypt to bless the nations of the world. That excites me. To be very frank with you, that's what keeps me in Egypt. God has already declared He is going to do something in this land and going to use what He does in this land among the people to bless the nations of the earth. So that everything that you and I do here in accordance with God's purposes is lining up with divine history for the unfolding of God's purpose for the world. I get excited about that. Don't you? Good morning. I hope so. Check a pulse if it doesn't excite you. This is thrilling stuff, folks. This is absolutely thrilling stuff. Now, quick overview. 4,000 years ago, Abraham was here. In 1670 BC, Joseph served here with the Pharaoh. In 1525 BC, Moses was born here, and around 1450 BC, the Exodus took place, all in this general area. Then to top it off, as we're looking at this morning, 2,000 years ago, Jesus came here with Joseph and Mary. And now, you're here. You're here. Dear friend, this is no coincidence. It's God's divine plan. And it makes me wonder, what's the thread through it all? Why are you here in this amazing place at this amazing time? Why? Well, I believe it's because of the E factor. There's two observations I'd like to make this morning about the E factor or the Egypt factor that have significance for you and me today, just as it has throughout history. The first one is that Egypt is a place of refuge. Egypt is a place of refuge. The angel told Joseph to escape to Egypt because Herod wanted to kill the Christ child. Herod wanted to eliminate any and every possible threat to his rule in that land. He wanted absolute rule, and so he had all the male babies killed up to 2 years of age to make sure that anybody in that vicinity at the time, from the time he first heard from the Magi until that point, any baby he wanted dead in the Bethlehem area. This kind of inhumanity has continued, unfortunately, throughout the generations. And it reveals its ugliness over and over and over again in many lands, in many places, in many different political circumstances. But behind every Herod and every Hitler and every Hussein, behind all the tyrants of this world, are the spiritual powers of evil, are the wickedness in the heavenly realms. That's what the Bible tells us. Jesus says the devil is the one who comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, and he will manipulate any person, any circumstance, any place to do that. Satan does not want people in general, and he does not want you specifically to know the life that God designed you to have. He wants to rip that off from you. He wants to take it away. He wants to limit you from experiencing God's abundance in your life. He wants to take you down. He wants to limit your joy, to crush your peace, to destroy your relationships, to damage your health, to keep you impoverished. He wants you believing his lies in order to keep you from God. That is the devil's purpose. And that's what he's doing secretly behind all the political and all the circumstantial powers and issues of this world. That's his intent. He wants you kept away from God and his purposes. Dear friends, you may not have a Herod on your tail this morning or on your trail, but I can guarantee you this. There are enemies in the spiritual realm that are seeking your downfall. Now, you may say, oh, come on, you don't believe that stuff, Dave. You don't believe this hocus-pocus spiritual world, do you? If you come from a culture that has no room for that in your thinking, sit beside somebody this morning or go to somebody from a third world country. By third world, I don't mean third in the sense of less important. I mean third in the way that people describe it. Because many ways, they are the first world. And in many ways, in spiritual understanding, they're way ahead of the West. The West that has gone through this whole process of rationalism, which has removed our thinking from the possibility of the spiritual realm, we're slowly coming back to that and realizing we've been wrong. We've been wrong. Our brothers and sisters in many parts of the world have already been there. They know they live in a spiritual world, and the spiritual and the physical are very much intertwined. Now, they may have some confusing understanding of it, but they know it's there. Dear friends, I'm speaking to you as frankly as I can, as a Westerner who's experienced this, both in third world countries as well as in North America, thick and fast. There is a spiritual realm, and there's a spiritual realm of darkness, and there are powers in that dark world that want to take you down. And if you don't understand that, you'll never understand life. You have a Herod on your trail this morning. You have powers that are seeking to bring you down, and they'll try any trick in the book in order to get you there. The good news this morning is this, though. God wants to provide safe places for you while you're in Egypt. It doesn't matter what is pursuing you. It doesn't matter what's trying to take you down. God wants to provide safe places for you in Egypt. Now, some of you have come to Egypt to escape physical enemies, and you are political refugees. We have a number of you in our church family like that. You're just like the Holy Family. You're escaping threat on your life and on that of your family. Today, Egypt provides refuge for millions, literally millions, who are fleeing political tyranny. Although life is still difficult for you if you're in that category, it can be very difficult while you're here in Egypt. At least you don't have to dodge bullets, and you don't have to worry about the physical safety of your family. By coming to Egypt, some of you are also escaping unemployment. You may say, no, not me. How many of you came here for work? Come on, a lot of you. You've come here because of your job, right? You're escaping unemployment. You didn't think of it that way, did you? But to come here for work means that you may not have had it or had the same job or the same opportunity back home. You're escaping unemployment. Some of you are escaping family pressures, knowingly or unknowingly. Some of you are escaping singleness if you're getting lined up with a person here to pursue a relationship with. Whatever brought you here that in that regard, go ahead, enjoy your job, build up your savings, cultivate relationships. Some of you may not know, you may not realize this, but you're escaping this subtle stranglehold of status quo living. All of us come from cultures where we get very, very comfortable, and we just kind of carry on in life. But coming to Egypt all of a sudden, it just kind of gives us a jolt, and we realize, you know what, the whole world doesn't live like we live back home. They don't live that way, they don't do things that way, they don't think that way, they don't have the same priority structure. And it forces us to re-examine the issues in our life. Have you ever thought that the status quo, whatever that is in your home culture, may have been a negative influence on your life and God wants to break you out of that? He wants to. In this safe place with so much diversity, bust out of your social bubble and discover true freedom. Discover the wonder of true friends with totally different backgrounds. Instead of after church going up to the people who are just from your culture, who look like you and talk with your accent, why don't you specifically go to somebody from another culture? Get to know them. Invite them out for a meal. Learn about them. Experience a bit of their life, a bit of their value system, a bit of their culture. Experience it. Learn, grow, stretch. Let God take you out in this safe place. Let God take you out of the restricting, constricting, damaging effects of uniculturalism. Where we're only unto ourselves. I realize that doesn't sound very spiritual, but it's an area where some of us can grow. Your heart can expand in this place larger than you ever thought possible. It can grow to levels of appreciation for people that you never, ever dreamt could happen. Some of you need to be released from certain beliefs or doctrines which in the past have boxed you in. Just like we get narrow-minded culturally, we can also get very narrow-minded in an unhealthy way, spiritually and doctrinally. Some of our denominations, some of our churches that we come from are so restrictive, and if you don't believe exactly this way, then you're going to hell. Now, I'm not talking about the basics of the scriptures. I'm talking about even within Christendom, there are groups that feel that way. Dear friends, and you brand me for this, but some of you need to be bust out of those boxes. Some of you need to realize that God's work is bigger than your understanding of it. Some of you need to appreciate that God may work in ways and through people that may not fit your style or your personality or even your doctrinal distinctives. God may want to bust you out. In this safe place, He may want to do that new work in your life. Let God bring wholeness to your spirit, to your soul, to your body. Let Him do a new work in you. Some of you have strongholds in your life that keep controlling you. Now, you say, now he's starting to meddle. I'm not meddling. I'm trying to bring freedom. Some of you may have things that are restricting you and constricting you. You've got bondages to substances or to habits. You've got addictions that master you, that no matter how hard you try, you just can't break them in your life. Dear friends, this is a safe place to discover God's total freedom. The Bible says, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Egypt is a place of refuge. Egypt is a place where God provides safe places for people. Egypt is a place where God wants to do a new work in your life and release you to be who He made you to be. Don't leave Egypt without it. Don't go on your journey without letting God do that deep work in your life. Some of you have broken relationships hot on your trail, hot on the tail of your heart. This is a great place to find healing for your broken heart. A great place to find healing for those deep wounds that reside in your soul. Now, regardless of what trouble has been trailing you, regardless of the pressures that are trying to seek your destruction and bring you down, remember this. Egypt was a place of refuge for Jesus, and it can be that for you. As long as you're here, discover the safe places that God has for you. Now, if you're going to be here for a while, if you're not just visiting, then I encourage you to plug into one of our cell groups. One of our cell groups are fabulous places to find safe places of relationship where you get to know a small group of people. You get to love each other. You get to pray for each other. You get to enter into each other's lives and walk each other through victory after victory after victory in our Christian lives. It's a great safe place to discover God's refuge in the midst of a world that may be a little unkind sometimes. But you know what? Refuge is not enough. Just being safe is not what our hearts ultimately long for. Nobody is completely happy just by avoiding trouble. We want to see our circumstances turned around. We want to see evil go down. We want to see the perpetrators of our pain and loss themselves be dealt with. And we want the place of refuge to get us to the next phase of life, to take us to the place where God really wants us to go. Now, thankfully, the E factor contains refuge, but it contains more than refuge. The second observation I'd like to make about that is that Egypt is also a place of renewal. It's not just a place of refuge, it's a place of renewal. Over and over and over again throughout history, going all the way back to Abraham, whenever God brought people to this land from outside, He brought them here in order to renew them, to build them up, to restore them, to do a new work in their heart, a new work in their life, a new work of direction in their life. It happens over and over and over again. Whether it took place in a short time period or whether it took place over a span of 300 to 400 years with the nation, God's purpose was always refuge and renewal. Now, the Coptic Orthodox Church here in this land has a wonderful and very rich tradition about the journey of the Holy Family in Egypt. It's fascinating to study. It's fascinating to visit some of the locations. While you're here in Egypt, make sure you do that. But nevertheless, the biblical text is silent on all of those details. That is extra biblical information or tradition that has been built on top of it. The text simply says this: after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. It gives us no time frame. All it simply says was God brought them here until Herod was dead. And after that threat on his life was over, it was time for them to return and to enter into the next chapter of their lives. Well, you know what? All of us foreigners here in this country, all of us, every single one of us, will someday, more than likely, return to our homelands. Like Jesus and his parents, we will turn the next page in our lives and move on to the next chapter in our lives. But what will that be? Where are you going after this? What are you going to do? What will you be involved in after you leave Egypt? The question is, why has God brought you to this safe place, whether it's for a month or a week or 10 years? Why did God bring you here? Dear friends, I'll tell you why. God wants to provide spiritual purpose for you. God wants to provide spiritual purpose for you. He's provided a safe place for you because this is a place of refuge. Now He wants to provide spiritual purpose for you in this place of renewal. earthly life was over, after Egypt provided the necessary safety, it was time for the Holy Family to return to Egypt, to move to Nazareth, to fulfill prophecy, and to launch Jesus into his amazing earthly ministry, the very purpose for which he came to this earth. Now, of course, your life and mine are very, very different than Jesus, obviously. But I know absolutely for sure that while you are here in Egypt, God wants to provide spiritual purpose for your life. Do you hear that, friends? While you're here in Egypt, God longs to provide spiritual purpose for you. Do you know what your purpose in life is? One of the saddest, most painful, and hollow realities is that many people wander through life, their entire lives, and they never really know what's behind it all. They never really figure out what it's all about, where they're going, why they're here. Calvin Miller, one of those, a great author, he said, many of us live as confused as a lightning bug. He says the lightning bug hasn't any mind, and it wanders through existence with its headlights on its behind. We see perfectly back there, but we have no idea where we're going, and no mind to wonder why. Dear friends, you are not a lightning bug. God designed you with a purpose. God wants your headlights on the front. He wants you to be able to see where he's taking you, understand his purpose on your life, and line you up to get you there. And that's why he brought you to Egypt. God wants to give you spiritual purpose while you are here. In every area of life, those who accomplish the most, those who experience the most, those who enjoy the most, are those who live according to purpose. Those who know where they're going and line their life up to get there. The most successful businesses in the world are those who are focused on a clear purpose and to move everything else out of the way except the accomplishment of their purpose. So it is with every organization, every religious institution, every school, every agency, every group, every marriage, and every individual life. Those who live by accident seem to move aimlessly, while those who live with a purpose are like arrows shot toward a target. Or to change the metaphor, think of rivers versus swamps. Rivers move toward a destination. They move back and forth, but they're going. They're moving toward a point. Swamps, however, move nowhere. They stagnate. They start to stink. A river has banks that limit it, that forces it to move in a certain direction. It has restrictions because it's moving. As a result, a river has focus. It has energy. People admire rivers, not swamps. Your life is not a swamp. Your life was meant to be a river and to flow with the river of God toward his purposes for your life. Over the last 13 years, I've had the privilege of watching thousands of foreigners come and go through Egypt. Many of them come to our church, many more don't. And I have watched many, many people leave Egypt in the same way they came here, aimless. Not really knowing what life's about. They've come here, they've experienced things in Egypt, and they go on just like the lightning bug, wondering what in the world's next. They really don't know what life is all about. On the other hand, I've watched many, many people come to Egypt and discover God's purpose for their life. And I have watched the lights come on. I have watched hearts start to expand. I've watched them come to life. Many people over the years have said to me, I can't believe it. I came all the way to Egypt to discover Jesus Christ. And they're overwhelmed with joy when they experience the life that God created them for, and they discovered it here in Egypt. I've met other people who have come who've already met Christ, who are believers, but they come here and their lives and their hearts are expanded to appreciate the breadth of the family of God, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, to have their hearts swell with praise, to experience God's purpose in their life, to be trained in ministry, and to be launched from here, to be touching lives wherever they go. It's exciting to watch God's purpose come alive in people's hearts and lives. God has a wonderful purpose for for your life, and he wants to work on that purpose while you're here. You know, for all the jokes about the E factor, remember what it really is. The E factor is a safe place with spiritual purpose. The E factor is a safe place with spiritual purpose. This Christmas, let God use Egypt in your life for more than just an international experience or an exotic extended vacation, for more than a place to make money and buy stuff. Don't wander around aimlessly, dear friends. Experience God's refuge. Experience God's renewal. Because Egypt is the perfect place to encounter Jesus. It's the perfect place to meet Jesus Christ. For the first time, or if you already know him, to encounter him afresh. He was here physically 2,000 years ago. He is right here today by his Holy Spirit. And he wants to minister to your heart. If you would like this positive aspect of E-Factor to be a reality in your life, I invite you this morning to join me in a prayer. This prayer simply expresses this desire, and if it's what you express or what you sense in your heart, I invite you to pray it with me right where you are. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, it is wonderful to think that you were so close to here when you came to Egypt as a young child. Thank you that you are here now by your Holy Spirit. Today, I want to encounter you. I want to experience the refuge you want to give me. You and I both know I need safety. I need safety from the enemies of my soul. I need freedom from my habits, freedom from my bondages, freedom from my addictions. I need release from my guilt. I need protection from the threats to my body, mind, heart, and emotions. Dear Jesus, please protect me. I also need your renewal. I long to discover your purpose for my life. Will you please reveal that to me? As you direct me, I will follow you. Please be with me here in Egypt. Come into my heart and live inside of me. Direct my steps from within. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to fulfill the purpose for which I was created. In your precious name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning and you meant it from your heart, then we would love to help you take the next steps in your journey with Jesus. So please, let us know. You can see me after the service. You can go to the cells booth. You can see one of the cell pastors with their name tags. Just let somebody know that, and we'd be glad to help you take those next steps. As you leave from this place this morning, we're going to sing a carol before we go. But let me simply remind you, this Christmas, let God do his deep and his broad work in your heart and your life. And may each of you be richly blessed.